If you knew the world was going to come to an end during your lifetime, what would you do? What would matter most to you in the time you had left? Would you do anything differently? Would you check something off your bucket list? Would you finally decide to shed the masks you wear on a daily basis that keep you from living as your authentic self? Would you engage in illegal activities? Because who cares? The world's ending. What would they do to me anyway? Would you gather together the ones that you love into one place to share with one another the time that you all had left? Would you tend to your next door neighbor, or would you let them be alone with what time is left? Would you hide in fear and denial? Because this would just be unfair. It's not supposed to happen. Would you build walls around you for a false sense of security, or would you tear down the ones that you've already built? Would you just quit everything? Would you come to church and pray for God to save the world? Would you come to church and say prayers of gratefulness for the life you lived? Would you talk more or listen more? Today we read a letter St. Paul wrote to the church he formed in Galatia. For him and the early church, the end of the world is near. They did not know when, but they expected Christ to return during their generation, and the life on earth would be no longer. So, what would you do and say if you knew the world was going to end in your generation? What does Paul have to say to us? What does Paul have to say to those who were listening to him? St. Paul's mission was to prepare his congregations for what was to come, a face-to-face meeting with God. This new thing God had done through the cross and through the resurrection, it was hard to grasp. This was not some grand scheme of social justice. This new thing was not an attempt to reform the laws that they were subject to under Roman rule. This new thing was beyond all that. St. Paul's mission was to instill in the communities who gathered in Christ's name what it meant to be clothed in Christ. Paul's mission was to help the early church shed the scales on their eyes and shed their earthly clothes and then cover themselves in Christ and to live their lives in faith. Before the cross and resurrection, the people were imprisoned and guarded under the laws given by God. They were to follow them. They were designed to separate God's chosen from others in order to keep them together, keep them as one, and to keep them safe. These laws were like the rules we create for our children to keep them safe until that they mature and possess the knowledge that they need to live into their adulthood. Being clothed in Christ moves us beyond childish ways and into a mature relationship with God. What Jesus taught by word and example was and is the living example of being clothed with Christ. Jesus attracted a large following. Everywhere he went, people followed. They were not drawn to him because of his life and message of equality. They were drawn to him for something greater, beyond equality, and into an unimaginable. The unimaginable, that the oneness that the law was supposed to keep them together and safe. The unimaginable was that this oneness was now going beyond that. was this oneness in God's love. Today in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he is trying to help them see each other, not as the world sees them, but as God sees them. Paul gives them three examples. He says there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Now, there could have been a lot more examples, but these were things that this church was struggling with in their faith. Now, if you notice, and it just struck me just a second ago, actually, that these examples are examples that are placed upon people who didn't have a choice. It doesn't say, hey, you're struggling with sin, right, you sinners? Because they were all, well, we're all sinners, right? And we're glad that the sinners are welcomed into this oneness. But those Greeks, the Greeks were Greeks, they were born into that, right? The slaves, it wasn't their choice. They didn't say, yeah, I'll volunteer to be a slave. They didn't really want to be a slave. And male or female, they were born into that too. So it's easy to accept this oneness when we're a part of it, that we can say, oh good, we're healed in our sin and everybody else is too. We can hang with that. It's those other people who didn't have choices in what it is that they were being separated about. Those who are clothed in Christ no longer see the world as separated. Males and females, to those listeners, were one had all the power and one was property, no voice. There was no oneness in that. We could have added children and all kinds of other categories, right? These are the things that Paul was addressing, really in response to a letter that he received that we don't have. But these are the examples he gave, so we assume that these are the examples that the community is struggling with. They're struggling with bringing a oneness together between males and females. But, hey, the world's about to end, and this is what Paul is teaching. So this is important stuff, right? Because you know it's going to end soon. You need to make things right. You need to prepare yourselves to meet God face to face. And males and females, one. Slaves and free, no. We're a one. We don't take people and possess them. We're God's possession. We don't possess others. The Jews and the Greeks, an issue that they struggled with, this whole Gentile thing, right? Even beyond that, okay, do the Gentiles have to become Jews first before they become one in Jesus? This is a hot topic through all the churches, not just Galatia. But Jews and Greeks, Jews and non-Jews, that were Gentile, Paul is saying, all people. There are the Jews and everybody else who's not a Jew. Paul is saying the separation stuff that we lived under before, this one little chosen people, no, through the cross and the resurrection, that oneness comes together. It is the Jews, sure. You are children of Abraham, as are your brother and sister Muslims. You're one. He wouldn't have used that term because they hadn't come along yet, but they were children of Abraham. Everybody is one. It's been all this time, and we as the church still don't get it. We still don't understand. We still struggle because, again, it's unimaginable. It's hard. Of what it means to truly be clothed in Christ. Because it's not about equality. Because if you're one, you're one. There is no separation. There's no, sure, it is equal, but it's not about that. It's about oneness. When you look at other people, you are one with them. What about now? What is it that we struggle with? Who is it that we separate? Sometimes it's a large group of people. Sometimes it's just people that we struggle with in ourselves, right? That we're creating the separation. When we see them, we don't experience a oneness. We experience wanting to separate. And sometimes this separation comes from the laws of the land. Either they already exist or we try to create more of them that create separation. Sometimes it's just cultural. Our society, it's not this law, it's this unspoken rule, or it might be spoken. Sometimes it's just within society. Sometimes it's religion separating other people. So now this is this is when you get to participate. Who's separated? Who's not seen as one in our world? Just yell it out. Those who are coming up to the border? Yeah. Border crossers? Yeah. LGBTQ? Separate those as not being one with us. People of color? They're different than us. We separate them. Women? Still. Other Christian denominations. We separated all the... Those evangelicals, those Baptists, I'm addressing the evangelicals and the Baptists, okay. Whatever it might... Those non-denominational folks, oh, no, they're not Anglicans, they're not Episcopalians, we just... You know, be it mainline churches and everybody else, because we don't always try to separate those Presbyterians from us or those Lutherans or those Methodists. They're close enough, right? It's those other out there. Absolutely right, Dot. Politicians? Well, we're getting a lot of separation, right? With that these days, older people, absolutely. Homeless. All the economic stuff, we just keep separating. If we're clothed in Christ, which we take upon us at our baptisms, then we are called to live as that, to bring together any separation in a way that when we see other people, we see ourselves, because we are one. Hard and unimaginable for them. It's still hard, and we try to imagine it. It doesn't get us off the hook that we just need to continue to practice it, but we do. But the only way to do it is to practice it in a way that we actually come face to face with the ones that we're trying to separate. Or we'll never get there. It's easy to talk about other people. It's harder to listen to other people. I wonder what the letter would actually say to us if Paul was writing to us today. And not just us in this room, but us as the oneness that he sees. The oneness that he began to see when the scales fell off his eyes and he was actually opened up to and transformed by God's love. Amen.